Ephesians chapter 4 is where we'll be, and everyone's got their outline. We're in our series on stewardship. Stewarding life is what God has called us to do, and we are saved to serve and to steward. That's what we are. We are saved to serve the Lord and steward that which He has blessed us with. And oh my, have we not just been blessed? God has poured His blessings out on us. As we even read together, even recently, shall we not forget all His what? Benefits. All His benefits towards us. And we are certainly a blessed people tonight. And we have so much to be thankful for. And you know, here's the truth. Even if we didn't have a home to go to tonight, even if we didn't have a car to drive, even if we didn't have nice clothes to wear, you know, the truth of the matter is we would still be very rich people because of Christ. He has blessed us with an eternal salvation, with the Holy Spirit, with the hope of heaven. We have each other. We have the family of God. We are certainly blessed. And so we've looked at the different aspects of stewarding. We looked at stewarding our resources, our treasures, finances. I believe the Lord helped us in that. Stewarding, we talked about stewarding time, talked about stewarding our health. We even talked about stewarding our trials, like we don't want our trials to be wasted. And as difficult as it is, church, we need to make it a habit. And though we won't feel like it, we need to make it a habit. Say, Lord, thank you for this difficult time that we're experiencing. It's okay to be honest about it. I think the Lord delights in when we're honest, don't you? He already knows, but it's just like, Lord, this isn't fun, and I'm not enjoying this, and Lord, I'm scared, Lord, I'm hurting, but Lord, I just want to thank you for what you're teaching me through this. And God will honor your spirit in that. And so just keep that before the Lord. But that's stewarding trials, just seeking to learn everything we can about the Lord, even through difficult times. But today we pick up a subject which I was very encouraged by studying and preparing and thinking upon the wonderful blessing and gift of friendship. Amen. Isn't friendship a gift from God? I consider you all my friends, and I hope I'm your friend, too. I really do. But you are. You're my friends, and I believe even Brother Wes. I mean, when I first met Wes and Ashley and got to talk with them, and Wes had come to know the Lord, and Ashley, just the both of them making decisions for the Lord, he shared that with me. He said one thing that stuck with him even before he got saved is, in fact, it was, to tell you a little bit of history, it was Michaela Wilson's dad. All right. He was a youth pastor, wasn't he, Brother Wes? Or not when he was working with you, but he was in ministry at different times. But he knew Wes through coaching. He was a teacher there at the school, and just befriended Wes. But he was one of their did he marry you guys? Actually, he did marry them. But one of the things he said to Wes, and I just remember this, he says, "You will meet your best friends at church." And I think that was wonderful advice. And because we're the family of God, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're friends. We really are. And though we may not be hanging out every day or necessarily every week out and about, but we understand each other's burdens and things we're going through. We grow old together. I know you're watching me grow old. Now, you haven't grown old at all. You guys look just as young as you ever have. But I feel like I am growing old. You know, I was 36 when I came. And I'm getting ready to be 46. So a decade, the wrinkles have gotten more. The grays have gotten more. But, you know, there's something special, folks. I really mean this. There really is something special about growing old together. And just being, you know, understanding we're experiencing life together. We're experiencing God's blessings. We're experiencing even trials. And I don't know how you improve. You can't improve on it because it's God's plan. But thank God for friends. Friends, real friends. Now, there's people out there that would say they're your friend. But the friends are the ones that stick with you They love you through thick and thin, just through tough times, good times. And we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about stewarding friendship. What is so important about stewarding friendship? Well, number one, it's having friends, good friends, and it's also being a good friend. Being a good friend. It's both ways, right? We're trying to train our children right now. Look, sometimes, you know, hey, I know kids are going to be kids, right? We can be the same way, but I don't have any friends. I don't have many friends, or the kids go into a new setting where there's new teenagers or new young people, and I don't know anybody. And we try to use that as training opportunities because it is difficult. I don't take that away. But what we try to train is, look, if you will show yourself friendly, the Bible says, and the Bible doesn't lie, you will have friends. Just be friendly. Introduce yourself to them. Ask them how they're doing. Be interested in their life and connect with people. It's just God wants us to steward friendship. And I believe that not only are we all good friends, but God gives us good friends outside of church family as well. People we've grown up with, even family members, people that are in our community that we've known. We have friends, and God wants us to steward those. And so let's think about that in the context of Ephesians chapter 4. Let's do this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. The Bible says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know, as I look at this passage, we look at most certainly some wonderful truths that will help us in our friendship relationships, being the right kind of friends that God desires us to be. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ will always be the best friend ever. Think about that. The Lord is your best friend. He's my best friend, and we want to get to know him better and better. There's been no greater friend than the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank God for that. And I hope you know that. I hope you know that. I hope you see your Savior as your friend, and he wants to live his life through us and to show us how it is to be a true friend. We'll understand the necessity, number one, of how important truth is in being the right kind of friend. And that will be our point number one there. We're going to learn about stewarding with truth. We steward friendships with truth. You cannot have true friendship without truth. Period. You have to be that. You have to have that established. In fact, I believe if I could say this, and this a lot of this applies to marriages as well. I believe with all my heart, probably the most precious and most valued possession that we can have in a relationship is trust. It's not a tangible, it's not a physical thing. Though maybe somebody did give you a really good gift at some point in your years of marriage, or just a daughter or son, whatever the case may be. But can we admit tonight that nothing replaces trust? Just being able to trust someone is an absolutely essential, it's fundamental. And that's another thing, going back to teaching our kids. We're really trying to instill that into them, that children, please understand, your word is everything. You be honest. Even if it means being embarrassed or getting in trouble, just be honest. Be honest. But this is something that comes with friends. Now, when it comes to friendships also, in our society, especially in our American culture, it's an achievement-driven culture. Get bigger, faster, better, and get all you can while you can. And what happens with that culture and that mentality, this is where we got to be careful. Because when people have that kind of focus, bigger, faster, brighter, just whatever, you know what is sacrificed? Relationships. I heard someone tell me this, Pastor Mark Pritchett. I heard it. I was just probably a sophomore in Bible college, and I was at church, a local church. It was on a Wednesday night, just like tonight. And he said something, and this was probably 15 years ago, probably more like 17, 18. He said this. He said, never value riches more than you do relationships. That was a nugget that God gave me that night. It has not left me. Never value riches more than you do relationships. Your relationship in marriage, your relationship with your children, your relationship with those around you. Because if you compromise for the sake of being richer or more successful in society's eyes, and you lose that relationship because of that, that's not really stewarding friendship. And Christians aren't immune to this struggle, by the way. It's not just the world. And we want to cultivate and steward some Christ-honoring friendships that will be for a lifetime. And I'm thankful that I believe God is doing that. So this is such rich practical advice that we find in Ephesians chapter 4, all the way through there. That helps us when it comes to stewarding friendships. And we can apply this to marriage and other things as well. But number one, steward the truth. If you hadn't filled that in, that's point number one. Steward the truth. A relationship cannot be sustained long term without truth. It's going to be broken. If there's no truth it's not going to be solid. That's the footing that is necessary for long-term friendship. Letter A, in order to be able to do this, we have to vanquish lying. Vanquish lying. You know, we encounter a broken society, and many times, and we see broken relationships, whether that's in the corporate world, whether that's in your home or family, many times, this brokenness comes from people lying, people being dishonest, people being deceitful. And what it does, it breaks down those relationships, and it's obvious. You know, a woman, a dear wife whose heart has been shattered by perhaps a husband that has lied over and over and over again and continues to do so, it just breaks it down. Vice versa, you could say that about a wife deceiving her husband in some way. It's just devastating. You feel like your insides have been snatched out. You know, it's like, oh, that is the kind of thing that being dishonest does. And folks, we as God's people, we must at all cost always be truthful. Truthful people who do not deceive. This is where that verse says, put away lying. Don't lie to anybody. We want to be able to build those relationships. That word putting away is to mean to reject all deceit and falsehood. You know, God's working in our hearts, is He not? And we have to be guarded against this. That, you know, any kind of deceit in our word, any kind of deceit in our act or our attitude or even our silence, deliberate exaggerations can take place. This is another one. Distortions of the truth. Even this can be considered lying, creating false impressions. And so we have to be guarded as God's people against those things. We're not exempt from being tempted to being deceitful people. We have to be filled with the Spirit. And God says, He's talking to Christians here. You put away that. No, you just be who you are in Christ. You're imperfect. I'm imperfect. We're honest. We're not trying to deceive anybody. And we value truth because God is truth. And it reflects the person of God. And we are made in the image of God. So basically what it's saying, just put away that stuff. Get rid of it. Don't let it be a part of you. And if it is something that's in your life that you struggle with, you pray about it. Memorize verses like this and say, Lord, just help me to be honest. I don't mean to keep bringing up my children, but that's another thing we're teaching our kids about. It's like, what is lying? And that what, you know, you leading us on to think that something is true, even though you didn't say it with your mouth, you almost give the impression. I said, that's lying. You can't do that. We were under the impression, well, I thought you knew, you know. Well, we have to be up forward about that. And we know that Psalm 15:1, verses 2, I believe that's in your notes. Who shall abide in the tabernacle? Who shall dwell in the holy hill? That's talking about who's walking with God. It's him that will walk uprightly and worketh righteousness. And what does it say there? And speaketh the what? The truth in his heart. In his heart. And letter B, and we'll stop here tonight. Letter B is we value truth. Letter B here is we value truth. When it comes to speaking the truth, let's be honest here. There is a caveat. Well, what is that caveat? Well, truth requires a companion to really, get this, bring it safely to the other person. Okay? Because there are people that speak truth, but they don't bring it safely. They are harsh and ugly and bitter and wrathful and can do it to hurt rather than to heal. Truth is to heal us. Truth is to help us. And so we have to be careful how much we value it. And it's truth is our best friend. And it is. And truth's best friend, never forget this, because we even see it coupled here together. I don't know if you ever heard it put like this, but truth's best friend is love. Let's say that together. Truth's best friend is love. God wants us to have truth in our lives, but He wants us to have it with love. And with God's help, we can. It says there in verse 15, it's speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So, we understand how important this is. And then sometimes, when it comes to even truth that is hard, let's be people that can be trusted with truth. That you could come to me and tell me something that's true about me that's going to help me, even though it may be hard. Sometimes we have to share hard truth with each other, but if we do it in love, oh, it's so precious. It really is a blessing. And so don't hesitate that if you're doing it in love, because it should help the other person. It should help me if you share something with me that you see in my life that might help me or my family or help our church or something, whatever the case may be, or whether it's on the job and whatever, you know, you've sharing it in love is so important. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, Proverbs 27:6 says, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Read here that as a surgeon knows that the incision is a vital requisite to the path of healing, a loving friend knows when the painful truth must be spoken. We want to be good friends, don't we? And we don't want to be, if I can use the proverb, we don't want to be sharing, as this one would say, the kisses of an enemy. They're deceitful. It's like, It's like if you see something, you know, this is so minor, this is so small, but if you see something on somebody's, you know, they just had a, we had a great meal together, and you notice they got something stuck up on the side of their face right there, and and you could just let them kind of go along and everybody be embarrassed and just like, oh no, but it would help to say, you know, hey, you got something right there, you know. But, you know, that's a true friend. Don't let them walk around and just be embarrassed. But the truth is, even in more serious matters, let's be true friends. I'm going to close with this quote. Adrian Rogers, one of my favorite preachers, who's in heaven now, listen to this. He said, "It is better to be divided by truth than to be united in error. It is better to speak the truth that hurts and then heals than falsehood that comforts and then kills. It is not love and it is not friendship if we fail to declare the whole counsel of God. It is better to be hated for telling the truth than to be loved for telling a lie. It is impossible to find anyone in the Bible who was a power for God, who did not have enemies and was not hated. It's better to stand alone with the truth than to be wrong with a multitude. It is better to ultimately succeed with truth than to temporarily succeed with a lie." So that's some powerful statements right there. But it goes back to what we want to do. We want to steward our friendships for the glory of God. So let's do that by the grace of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this.